Heavenly Father, we are here because we are hungry for your word. We want to know what you've got to say to us. We are tired of the messages of the world because it promises us everything and gives us nothing. But you, in your word, you tell us the truth about ourselves and about yourself and about how we can find the water of life. And we know that when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive that because you tell us the truth. And we pray that as we study, so you will speak to us. And we also know, Lord, that our minds have got to compete with all the things that have gone on today, this week. Lots of things that bother us that are in our heads. And we pray that you will help us to focus on what you've got to say to us. And we thank you for your kindness and love for us in Jesus. In his name, amen. Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read to you from verse 5 to verse 8. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. And those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. We're going to talk about the spiritual person, the true Christian, people who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, because there are many people who are very confused about their own standing with God, because most people have got an inferiority complex with God. We never think that we're accepted. We always think we're messing things up. And we never feel satisfied. We always feel that there's things that we've got to put right and got to repent of. And we never feel completely and completely satisfied with God. And sometimes we rob ourselves of peace and joy in that way. The person who is not a true Christian is controlled by what their evil nature desires. Because it says in verse 5, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. What does the nature desire that is not set on the Holy Spirit? That is not controlled by God, not controlled by heaven, not controlled by faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it means when it talks about the sinful nature. It's the nature that does not know God. But now it goes on to say in verse 5 of chapter 8, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit, those who are in agreement with the Holy Spirit, those who live in a way that the Holy Spirit approves of, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Do you want to know what the spiritual person is like? Or what the real Christian is like? It's the person whose mind relates and resonates with the Holy Spirit. See, the mind of the sinful man is death. The sinful person, that is, the person who's not a Christian, the person who lives only according to their own thinking and their own philosophies and their own ideas, everything they do ends in death. We live our lives, we come to retirement, we do our projects, we make our achievements in life. It's all got the stamp of death in it and means nothing in the end. Everything in their minds eventually is controlled by death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit, it says, is life and peace. Now, the sinful mind, it says, is hostile to God. It says it does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. In other words, your friends who are not Christians and have always got something to say about the Christian faith, who are always standing in opposition to what you as a Christian may stand for, always arguing against the Bible, arguing against God, arguing against the gospel, always feeling that there's something better out there in the world to believe, those people are controlled by the sinful nature. And they cannot, they've got no power in them to please God at all. But that's not true of the person who is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Who are the people who are controlled by the Holy Spirit? They are the people who have believed the gospel and trusted the Lord Jesus for salvation. The problem with that is that there are many of us who don't have enough Bible teaching or understanding to know how much we have been changed or transformed. And so often we feel blameworthy, we feel like we've got no real standing with God. We feel we're not making the grade. We don't have any certainty at all about ourselves and God. Now, that is what we want to address, because especially Romans chapter 8 is to provide certainty and assurance for those who put their faith and trust in Jesus. Now, you may be a very new Christian, or you may be a Christian that has been around for quite a long time. But either way, it doesn't matter how little your faith is, how small it is, how weak it may be, or how strong it may be. If you only got a little faith because you've only just become a Christian and you've only just begun to understand what it means to belong to God, you need to know that that little faith is real faith. And if it's real faith, it connects you to Almighty God. So you need to be aware of that. And if we lack assurance, we lack joy. And if we lack joy, then we have a poor quality Christian experience. And there are many people in our churches and here in this town, I suppose, in all towns, who have a poor quality Christian experience. They got no certainty. They don't feel that they've really got the point. But they can't leave it. They can't leave it alone, because God has got them and the Holy Spirit has got them. But what they need to do is understand who they are once the Holy Spirit has got them and brought them to the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's no such thing as a person, as people have often said to me in the past, and I've said to them, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. Or yes, I'm a Christian, but I'm not born again. That's what people have said to me. I'm not born again. In what way are you a Christian then? Well, I believe in God. And so there's a lot of confusion, you see, out there today. No, those people are not Christians. They are confused and they need to be deconfused. They need to be helped. The gospel needs to be explained properly to them. But there are other people who truly believe in the Lord Jesus, but can't always say that I've really got the sense of joy in my heart or that sense of belonging to Him that I have to be. And so there are people like that. Now you need to know that there are only two kinds of people in the world when it comes to this kind of spirituality I'm talking about. There's a big divide. You either are a Christian or you're not a Christian. You may be a weak Christian. You may be flailing like you're in deep water and you can't get out of it. You may be feeling that you're not sure about things, but you can't stop believing in Jesus. On the other hand, you may be someone who gives Jesus not even a thought during the day, but you don't mind going to church occasionally. You're not a Christian. But the person who is struggling and battling may well be a Christian, although they are battling and struggling because they don't understand what it means to live according to the Spirit. It's just a matter of explaining to them what is happening to them. So what does it mean to live according to the Holy Spirit? It means to be dominated by the things that interest the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit that is in us is holy, what do you think will dominate him? The Word of God will dominate him. The Word of God will dominate all of those who are true children of God. Things about Jesus will dominate us. Things about our salvation will dominate us, because the Holy Spirit is working with us and our interests will now fall in that direction. And this is what is true of you if you are a Christian. Even though you may be weak and you may not always be sure of yourself, this is where your mind will be. And it's a deliberate mindset. You're thinking of it all the time because you're going to Bible study and the preacher says something and you know it's true. You know it's true, but you don't know if it's true about you. Or you go to church and the same thing happens and you don't know whether it's true about you. And what you need to understand is how wonderful it is to belong to the Lord Jesus, even though we may feel very weak spiritually and we may be very ignorant about what the Bible actually teaches. But if you've got even just a little mustard seed of faith that is planted in the gospel and what Jesus did for us on the cross, that links you to God. And so that mustard seed will grow as you learn more about the Word of God. If you are a Christian at all, if you belong to God, if you've got even a small faith or large faith, the first interest that will be very big in your minds is the interest concerning your own souls. You will be aware of the fact that you are more than just a body. that you've got a soul, that there is eternity beckoning, that there's more to you than just meets the eye, that you've got the ability to feel things that you can't explain. You've got the ability to want things you can't explain. You've got the ability to understand spiritual things that you can't explain to other people, and that you have come almost inexplicable to other people. Your old friends that you used to hang around with, when you raise these things with them, they can't get you, they don't get you at all. They don't understand you anymore, because something new has happened to you that is beyond human understanding. You've come to the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit has brought the new birth into your life, and He has come to live within you, and you're a new person. Now, you may not understand all of that and the implications of that, but you are a new person, and although you may struggle with the things concerning the faith and the Bible day by day, you can't help it. You are new. You know, sometimes if you buy a new pair of shoes, when you put the shoes squeak when you walk, right? The shoes can't help it. They're new. They will squeak wherever you walk. And that's the same with Christians. We'll squeak wherever we walk because we're new until you're worn in and you understand, oh, so this is what it means to be a Christian. So the first thing that will be true of us is that we will be very concerned about our souls. So you've got to ask yourself the question, how do you view yourself? Are you only a man, only a woman, only a businessman, only a Christian worker, only a wife, only a mother, or only this, or only that, only a student, only that? No, you're not only that. You are that, but you also have a soul. You've got a portion of you, a part of you, that is more than what you live day by day. You possess a soul. And so your interest will always be in your relationship with God, because you can't help understanding that you now have a part of you that's going to live forever. And this is the first thing that you set your mind upon if you're a person of the Spirit. You will think all the time, how does this affect my soul? Is my soul saved? Is my soul safe? And how does this affect me if I do this or do that? How will it affect me in terms of my relationship with God? And so thinking about your soul becomes the center of your thinking and of your life. And your interest is now totally focused on what is going to happen to your soul. And anything that disturbs your relationship with God troubles you. If you do something or say something or get engaged in something or make a mistake or commit a sin or whatever the thing is that is wrong, it troubles you in your soul. That wouldn't have troubled you beforehand, but it troubles you now because you're a new person and you have a soul that has now been touched by the Holy Spirit. You're now living by the Spirit. And this establishes us as Christians. My relationship with God is a central thing. And is that true of you? If that is true of you, then that means that you belong to Almighty God and you can leave here assured of that greater truth. And so your soul is the most important thing to you. So that's why many people become very troubled when they become Christians, because as they grow, they realize, oh, wait a minute, my husband is not going to go to heaven with me, or my children aren't going to heaven with me, or my family is going to disown me. And we have had people who have renounced their faith in Christ because of that. Because they've said, no, wait a minute, if I do this, if I become a follower of Jesus, problem with my family because they're not interested. And I can't be the only one in my family. I can't stand the thought of that. And so they turn their back on Jesus because they were never truly connected with God. But the one who's truly connected with God will remember the words of the Lord Jesus that tells us that unless we love Him more than we love father and mother and son and daughter and daughter-in-law and son-in-law, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So if you are a true Christian and the Holy Spirit has got you, your concern for your soul is so great that even if your family members reject you, you can't reject Christ because He's touched you somewhere within yourself where eternity matters. And you know that you can't turn your back on Him, and that if you've got to make a choice, you've got to make a choice for Him. Now, the second thing I want to put out to you is that you also now develop a concern about your own sinfulness. Because before, You know, people sometimes make light of sin and they make jokes about it. You can hear it with comedians, you can hear it with on movies, you can hear it wherever you go. And sometimes in your own families, in your own circles, you can hear it and you can say, ah, you know, people say to you, why are you so, you know, you're such a spoiled sport. You don't take a drink, you don't enjoy this, you don't do that. You're aware of your weakness and you're aware of the things that can take you away. You're aware of the struggle with the devil every day. You dread the thought of becoming distant from God. You don't want to be filled with shame and foolishness and weakness. You want to stand true for God. And so sin becomes a big interest to the person who is truly born again and truly touched by the Holy Spirit and is living by the Spirit. You're concerned about your own soul, and as a result of that, secondly, you're concerned about your sinfulness, because you know that naturally you are sinful, I'm sinful, and given half a chance, our sinful nature will break through and try to take me away from God. So we've got to set up our guards all the time. Now the third thing is this: if you are a true person of God and your mind is set on the things of the Spirit, then another thing that will mark you out and that you'll become aware of is that you develop an understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ that you never had before. And not only an understanding, but also a love for him, an affection for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand him. Most people don't understand Christ today, and the world will not understand what Christmas is. You can see it already when they sell you Christmas cards. There's no gospel on it at all. There may be something from the Bible story about wise men or whatever, but there's nothing that you can detect in the world. Even if they put up decorations in the shops, even if they play Christmas songs, there's no understanding of what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do. There's no understanding of him at all. But when the Holy Spirit touches you, you become aware of Jesus in a way in which you have never been aware of him before. And I want to say this to you, that when you listen to preachers preach, and when you listen on TV and these places, wherever you, whatever social media you use, you listen to people speaking about God and about Jesus, just mark out what they say about Christ, if they mention him at all. For sometimes they don't even mention him. And if they do, mark out what they say about him. Because you will be interested to know what the most important thing about Jesus is. And the most important thing about Jesus was not his birth in the stable, although that was tremendously important. Not his miracles, even though those were important. And all of those things make up an important picture of Jesus. But the thing that will touch your heart most of all is his death on the cross. If Jesus did not die on the cross and rise again, my friends, we would not be here. There'd be no churches, there'd be no Bible to read, there'd be nothing. Humankind would be left to its fate, and there would be nothing but emptiness and gluttony and violence, and like an apocalyptic world out there. But it's the Word of God that restrains us because of all that Jesus came to do. When Jesus came to die on the cross, he didn't come to die on the cross just simply so that your sins may be forgiven or my sins may be forgiven. His death on the cross had cosmic implications. It was victory over the unseen forces, the unseen powers, the evil one, the unseen elements in the universe that drive people to distraction and that cause the horrific demonic national actions that nations sometimes commit against people or groups commit against people. And in those early days when we saw the television pictures of beheadings taking place and things like that, what did you think? You said, no, people can't do this. Oh, yes, they can. They can. Because there are powers of darkness out there that can take over whole groups of people and or individuals and turn them into cruel machines because there's no awareness of God. And no awareness of eternity. And no awareness of the soul. And so they live in hatred of each other. Now, today in our world, we can say quite honestly that the world lives largely as a place of hatred. Nation against nation. People against people. Everybody's trying to outdo everybody else, but there is in our world today a spirit of restraint. And what is that spirit of restraint? It's unseen and unfelt, not understood, but God in his gracious common mercy for us all sends his Holy Spirit into the world and brings a certain amount of restraint so that we can live our lives. But we ourselves, when we get touched by the Holy Spirit, we begin to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ came to deal with this very problem of sin that causes people to do the things that they do. And as we understand more about him, our hearts become enlarged and our feelings become enlarged. And we feel we want more of him. And we want to understand him, and we feel shocked when people blaspheme him. And we feel we want to be in the company of people who honor him. And we joyfully sing the hymns that lift him up and raise him up, because our hearts have been taught by the gospel to love him. That's true of anybody whose life has been touched by the Holy Spirit, by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next thing I want to point out to you, that his work on the cross becomes of special interest to you. And when you listen to preachers preaching or teachers teaching, or you tune into whatever station you tune into, or your favorite preacher, just listen what they say about Jesus. If they talk about the Christ who died on the cross for us, you know that you're in good company. But when they talk about Jesus in a different way, as the great victor and the power and the healer and the giver of prosperity and things like that, then you know you're in the wrong company. Because people who've been touched by the Holy Spirit are drawn to Jesus by what he did on the cross for them. And so it's the cross that becomes the central thing. I want to ask you a question today. Why do you think that wherever you go in the world today, wherever you go anywhere in the world today, you can go to Europe, you can go to the West, you can go to the East, you can travel throughout the Southern Hemisphere, but wherever you find a church, you find a cross. Why is that? Because the cross is the central thing that Jesus came to do. It's the most important thing he came to do, and what he did on the cross was so profound that it is very hard for us to grasp it. Can we understand how it was possible for Jesus, the God-man, to go to the cross and take upon himself the guilt, not the sins, but the guilt? He became guilty for us. He took our guilt to the cross. He said, "Father, I will be guilty for him, for her. And will you take their guilt and put it on my shoulders? And take my innocence and give it to them." And because he becomes guilty before the Father forsakes the Son, just like he will forsake those who die without coming to Jesus. He gets forsaken. How can we understand that? You can't understand that. I can't understand it. It's too profound. Far too profound. And yet, it happened. And that is what attracts us to this Jesus. That as we love him, we understand more about him through his cross and, of course, his mighty resurrection, which makes it possible for us and for our salvation. So we are very grateful to God for the Lord Jesus Christ and for especially his atoning work on the cross. Now, the next thing I want to turn your attention to, our relationship and union with Christ. If you have been touched by the Lord Jesus Christ, if the Holy Spirit has touched you, if you are a true Christian, and if you have a true spirituality, then the thing that will dominate your mind day by day, as you wake up in the morning, go to bed at night, wake up the next morning, every movie you watch, every book you read, every person you talk to, everything that you do in life, behind it will stand the question, how does this relate to my relationship with the Lord Jesus? What does this do for me and my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, my dear friends, the Bible talks about our union with Christ. And that is such a hard thing to explain to people, because it's a spiritual, supernatural thing that when you become a Christian, Christ comes into you by his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit represents Christ and comes into you. The third person of the Trinity comes into you to represent the entire Trinity in you. And you are a walking human being with the Trinity of the universe within you. And all of the dynamics of that are swirling around inside of you. And as you are touched by the Holy Spirit and as you grow spiritually, more and more of that relationship with Christ takes over your thinking, and you become interested in fellowship with other Christians, and you become interested in what it means to really pray and to be able to reach out to Him and to talk to Him, because He's in heaven but He's in you. And how does that work? Who knows? But He tells us, if you call upon Me, I will answer you. And so we call upon Him. And we become interested in our world. Why are we interested in our world? We're interested in our world because the world is a place that does not know God. You see? But we now know what the world is like. We know why the world is as it is. We know why people are as they are. We go and see friends where the marriage is in tatters. And we know why it's like that. It's because of human selfishness and human sinfulness. We have a deep interest in the world, and we are concerned that the world should know about the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see the world in the grip of evil, and we are saying we want to bring light into the darkness. And so our whole understanding of the world undergoes a change when you are touched by the Holy Spirit and when you are brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the last is a simple question. How do we detect these things in ourselves? How do we detect it in ourselves? Now, I'm not asking you whether you see these things in all of their fullness in you. I'm not asking you that. I'm not asking you if you see it, if you can say, oh, he said that, yes, I can tick that off, I can tick that off, I can tick that off. Because some of you may feel you can't. But I can ask you this. I can ask you, do you have a taste for these things? Do you have a taste for God and a taste for the Bible and a taste for Jesus and a taste for the cross? Do you have a taste for these things? And if you've got a taste for these things, that is a sign that the Spirit of God has worked in you and is drawing you closer to the Almighty God Himself through Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how weak you may feel, or how weak you may be, or how small you may feel yourself to be spiritually. But if your mind is drawn to these things, and it resonates with you, and you're saying, yes, I recognize truth in them, then your mind is set on what the Spirit desires. And you can leave here assured that you are a child of God. You can leave here knowing that you're a child of God. You may say, I feel so encouraged to know I'm a child of God. I'm so weak. I didn't realize all those things. But I want more of it. I want more of it in my life. I want to taste it. I want to read more, understand more. I want to find on my various social media platforms, I want to find things that help me to understand these things better. I want to make friends with people who feel like that. And I want to be the person that I should be for Jesus Christ. See, that is the mark of a true Christian. That's the mark of a true spiritual life. And I hope that is true of you. Can you feel in your heart a taste, a drawing toward that? And if you can, then you are one of those who belongs to the Father in heaven. You can call Him Father. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the truth of the Bible, that there are those who live according to the sinful nature, and we can see them in the world. We can identify them. We know who they are. We know how they live. And we also thank You that there are those who live with a mind controlled by the Spirit, which is life and peace. And we know who they are. Sometimes we get confused about ourselves, Lord. But we know that if our minds are drawn to the things we've spoken about, that You are at work in us. And we pray that You will give us the encouragement that we need, the sense of joy in our hearts that we are connected to You in spite of all the hardships we may have to face day by day. Help us to remember that nothing can erase or take away from us that connection that we've got with You. And we pray that You will fill us with more of the Holy Spirit, more of Your Word, more of Christ, more of the message of His cross. And we pray that our lives may be filled with light, so that during the day we may shine for other people to come to Christ. So send us away with your blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen.